And this week, I find it really makes me smile. We're preaching from the book of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16. We're preaching on the subject of fasting. And we're preaching on the subject of fasting at the Falafel House. I love it. Sometimes you just got to smile, don't you? I want to remind you of the children's Christmas play tonight. They've been working hard and looking forward to that. Of course, that's what the decorations are about. And that begins tonight at 5 o'clock. So be sure to come and be a part and encourage our children's department by attending and celebrating the birth of Christ through this program tonight. But right now, let's focus our minds toward the Word of God. And let's ask God to bless and to speak to us through His Word as we stand. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head with oil, wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we bow to you and ask you today to please speak to us. Father, instruct us in this matter of fasting, that, Lord, when we fast, we may do it for your honor and for your glory. Lord, we just pray for everyone present in this service today. You know their needs. You know the ones who need encouragement. You know those who need comfort, those who just need you. Father, move freely among us, and I pray your will be done in this service for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. All right. Man, I love food. You can tell that, can't you? This coat hides a little bit of my love for food, but I still love it. And you know, I believe God made food to be received with thanksgiving according to what He told Timothy, right? And I tell you, you know, there's some people in this church who I'm really thankful for that are just really, they can put what God gives together and I can spend the rest of the day eating it, right? So good. And, but all that as it is, you know, there comes a time when food's not that important. There comes a time when you have an urgent need for God's intervention in something. And it's in these kind of times that you're willing to set aside food. Food just doesn't have that draw that you might normally have. But you just have that need to seek God in a particular matter. Maybe it's a crisis. Maybe it's a tragedy. Maybe it's for just direction. But that need is so much so that you just devote everything that you are to seeking God. That's what fasting's about. That's the times that we fast. And if we're going to talk about fasting, which we are today, we're going to have to understand what fasting is. There are a lot of abuses or misuses of that term fasting in the religious world today. When I speak of fast today, I don't want you to think it's not that fad fasting that exists today. It's very popular today. As a matter of fact, you see it all over the internet. And if you go a certain amount of time, this happens and your blood sugar normalizes. And it's all that's fine, but that's not what we're talking about. Just because you didn't eat does not make you more spiritual, okay? Fasting is to abstain from food for the purpose, or abstain from food and or drink for the purpose of seeking the Lord in a matter. Okay? It's very simple. It's very direct. And you know, like I said, there's a lot of people who have twisted it. And today's fasting is you don't eat red meat on a certain day. Okay, that's silly. I was trying to catch my... That's not fasting. Okay? There's nothing biblical about that. You know, and I've had people tell me, oh, I'm fasting Cokes. Well, bless your heart. That's not fasting. Okay? Not what fasting's intended to be. In the Bible, they set aside food, period, to seek the Lord. There was an urgent need to draw near to God, so their full attention would go toward God as they fasted. And this is, fasting is one of those times, it's basically getting as serious as you can possibly get with God. To that point where nothing matters except me and God right now. That's what fasting is about. And also understand, if you fast, prayer is always involved in fasting. You can pray without fasting, but you cannot fast without praying. Right? And so, I want you to understand, this is a serious matter that I think we've Americanized it and try to make it simple and make it fit into people's lives. It doesn't need to fit into your lives. Your life, if you're going to fast, you put your life on hold and you turn everything that you are toward God. Because you need God. Now, the only command in the entire Bible for fasting is found on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur today, right? It's the only place where a fast is commanded, and you kind of get, if you read about that in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 27, you get the tone of what a fast is. See, it says, the 10th day of the 7th month shall be the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. And listen to this. You shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. See, where that was implemented, they didn't even use the Hebrew word for fast, which is tsom. I probably butchered that, but they used the word anah, the Hebrew word anah, which is to afflict your soul. And it means to deny yourself and to humble yourself. And so the point of fasting, the tone of fasting, the idea there is to deny self, humble yourself before God, because you have a great need to present to God. And so that's the only command that there was to fast in the Old Testament. Now, they did it a lot. But I want you to understand that there was not a thou shalt fast at a certain time on a certain day and for a certain length of time. That's not there. But in the New Testament, you say, okay, preacher, do we fast? We're in the New Testament days. Or do we fast now? Well, read in the text, right? Our text said, verse 16, moreover, when you fast. You know what that word when is? Or what it means? It means when you fast. It's not an if. It didn't say if you fast. As a matter of fact, he repeated that twice. So there is an assumption in the words of Jesus here that New Testament believers will fast. And even a step beyond that, Jesus was with his disciples, of course, and he's approached by John's disciples in Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 and 15. And Jesus said this. Then the disciples of John came to him saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but you and your disciples do not fast? Then Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away, and then, let's read that together. then they will fast. So should we fast today according to Jesus? Yes. Yes. Now, the problem is, and I can tell you, okay, y'all all need to fast. I realize this is Christmas week, okay? I probably should preach on gluttony instead of fasting. Be more applicable this week. But I'm looking beyond Christmas, okay? It's going to come a time when it's time to fast. And the problem is, we're not given a lot of direction, instruction concerning fasting. For example, when do you fast? You're going to ask that question. When do you fast? Well, there's no specific occasion in the New Testament that says you'll fast on these days. It just goes back to the need. It's speaking of a time when there's an urgent need for God's intervention in a matter. Now, there are a lot of examples throughout the Bible of fasting. I'm going to give you a few of those. For example, David fasted for his son who was sick. And he was sick to the point of death. And 2 Samuel 12:16 says, David therefore pleaded with God before the child. And David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. David's son was sick. Food wasn't important. What was important? Pouring myself out before God. Lord, help my son. Now, there's a lot to that story, more than that, but you get the idea, right? Someone sick? Have you ever fasted because somebody's sick? No? Why not? It's appropriate. David did it. And you say, yeah, but that's Old Testament. No. The Old Testament is still applicable. It's not a law thing. It was a common practice for these guys, for these people. Okay? Daniel fasted. He fasted to seek the Lord. You see, in Daniel chapter 9, he had been reading from the prophet Jeremiah. And he had discovered that Israel was getting close to having fulfilled their time of exile. And when he realized that, Daniel chapter 9, verse 3, he said, then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. You know what Daniel wanted? Daniel just wanted to know, God, what's going to happen? What's going on? What do I need to do? What do we as a nation need to do to prepare? So he fasted to seek that guidance from the Lord. Israel fasted as a nation. In the days of Esther, how many of you have seen the program Esther at Sights and Sound Theaters? Okay, you know how this goes then, right? Days of Esther, the decree went out from the king that all Jews were to be massacred on a specific day. That it was basically open season. You kill a Jewish person and take whatever their land and all their possessions, it was yours. And that decree went out throughout the land, and in Esther chapter 4, verse 3, it says, and in every province where the king's command and decree arrived, there was great mourning among the Jews with fasting, weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. It was a national emergency. The Jewish people were going to be wiped off the face of the earth had this king's command happened, right? So what did Israel do? They fasted and prayed, wailing and weeping before God in sackcloth and ashes. Now there is New Testament examples of fasting. The elders of Antioch, they fasted, right? When they were about to send out Paul and Barnabas on the mission field. Acts 13, 2 and 3 says this. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. Then, having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and sent them away. You see, here's a church that knew how important their mission was. When's the last time that you fasted for a missionary? You say, Brother Doug, when's the last time you fasted for a missionary? It's been too long, I promise you. But whether it's a personal tragedy, a personal crisis, a church matter, something going on in the church, fasting is very appropriate. Because what we discover is the problems, the challenges, the missions that we have in life are far above what you and I can do ourselves. That's why we petition God. Now we ask the next question, how do you fast? So how do you do it? How do you actually fast? Well, it's not that hard. You just don't eat, right? People often ask, well, how long do I fast? And here's the answer. Are you ready? Fast till you're finished. Till you're through. There is no time limit. You see, what we want fasting to be is this pretty little religious box that we can say, okay, I fast 2 hours at a certain time of day on this day. I check the box. I've done my thing. That's not what fasting is. Fasting is seeking the Lord, realizing your great need for the Lord. So there's no answer. How long do I fast? I can tell you this, if you're fasting, it should not be business as usual, you know. And that's why I think that a lot of our culture today has gone to the way you can just fast one thing and go about your life and normal business and just do without that one thing and go to work or go to play, go to ball games, chase the kids. You've missed the point of fasting. Fasting's about stopping and saying, God, we need you. It's about making that need the greatest priority in life. And so from the beginning, I want you to understand when we answer the question, how do I fast? It's not, you're not filling a box, but God is seeking a matter of your heart. Okay? That's why I said in our text, don't be a hypocrite. We talked about last time what a hypocrite was. A hypocrite, of course, is an actor, right? And it's an actor's job to play a part to convince you, the audience, that they're someone that they're not. Again, I know we did this several weeks ago, but I'm going to tell you again, today's world has the false impression of what a hypocrite is. You know, they will call a hypocrite someone who says one thing and does another. That's not a hypocrite. That is not. A hypocrite is someone who's trying to convince you that they're someone they are not. Big difference. You see, all of us believe that we should live a pure and a holy life. Amen? But I can follow you long enough, I can promise you, I can find things that are not very holy in your life. Right? And you can do the same to me. That doesn't mean that I don't believe that we should be pure and holy. I just have a sinful nature and sometimes I stumble. But here, this is the big religious no-no, if you will. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't try to convince someone you're something that you are not. And you see, that's what was going on in Jesus' days. The Pharisees, they loved to fast. And when they would fast, they would put dirt and ashes on their face so that you would look at them and you'd say, ooh, what a holy guy. He is fasting. Man, he needs to eat something pretty soon. Boy, I wonder how long he's gone without food. And that's the reason they did it. Said they disfigured their faces. I read in one place where they would contort their faces. Have you ever seen somebody go, you know, just this big, sad, bad look on their face? That was them. That was the Pharisees of that day. And the point of their fast was not to seek God about a matter. The point of their fast was to convince you how holy I am. And quite frankly, if I'm convincing you of how holy I am, my sights are set very, very low. You see, the point is not for people to look and to admire. As a matter of fact, God said in this text, He says, they have their reward. They set out, they wanted people to see them fast and to acknowledge them fasting, and they have their reward. They got it. Listen, I don't know about you, but if I do without food for very long, I want more than your approval. How about you? If I do without food very long, I want to hear from God. You know? Oh, my heart to be turned toward God. That's the point. As a matter of fact, that's the whole message today. It's to be God focused. Because let me tell you, what God sees is important. What man sees is not important. Therefore, when you fast, how to fast? When you fast, anoint your head. You know, they'd put oil on their head, comb their hair. That's just the way they got ready. Wash your face. So that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but rather to the Father. I want to show you this in the text. Verse 18. Says, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to the Father who is in the secret place. This is where fasting gets interesting. You're not to appear to men to fast, but to the Father. How do you appear to the Father to fast? Do you have to look really sad? Do you have to mess up your hair? Do you have to put ashes on your face? No. Where is God looking? Well, I'm glad you asked. He's looking in the secret place. That, if you'll notice in the text, that word place is italics. It means added by the translators. It just says secret. But your point is to appear to God in the secret. Where is the secret? That word secret means innermost. You see, I can put on a religious show on the outside for you to see. I might even convince you that I'm something I'm not. But God's not looking out here. He's not looking at the look on my face or the sackcloth and ashes. God is looking in here. That's the point of fasting. That's where fasting comes from. Okay? That is where fasting comes from. It's God focused. Now, and let me tell you, you know, you see the word secret, and I've known people that sometimes kind of panic, and they're fasting, and they, oh, nobody can find out that I'm fasting. I don't want anybody to know, because if anybody knows, then God's not going to answer my prayer. Oh, no, oh, no. No, you've gone to the other extreme. It's still about people when you're that way, okay? If you're fasting not to be seen by people, that's a hypocrite. If you're fasting to be seen by people, that's hypocrisy. The idea here is it's none of man's business. It's not my business. It's not your business. There may come a day when I ask you to consider fasting, but I will not ask you if you fasted. That's between you and God. And it has to come out of the secret place, which is the innermost part of you. It comes from the heart. You see, God is not impressed by the outside. He's impressed by the inside. God's not looking at what you look like. He's looking at what's coming from the heart. Things to consider. Number one, when you fast, what do you want? What do you want? You know, I'll be honest with you, this is where I get real selfish. Well, Lord, I would like to do this, or I'd like to have that, or I'd like to go here, and I'd like for life to go my way. Well, that brings up question number two. Why do you want it? Why do you want it? Well, because I like, wait a minute. We go back to the Lord's Prayer, right? The prayer that we've just spent so many weeks going through. Not my will, thine be done. You know, Hallowed be your name. So when we get serious with God and we say, I want these things, and we've got to answer the question, why do we want it? Because if it doesn't bring glory to God, it's not the best. It's not the best. I've heard people pray, Lord, heal somebody so that they can be back to a normal life. And I've even been guilty of this myself. Heal them, Lord, so they can live again and be back with their family again. And that's fine, but what do you want God to get in the deal? Again, I fear that we've become so self-centered that we forget it's not about us. Instead, it's about a holy and awesome God. That should be the point of our prayers and our fasting. So let's answer one more question. Why do you fast? Why do you fast? People in the Bible fasted for this one reason. They fasted because they had a burden. Okay? They fasted because they had a burden. Go back to the book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah, he was, of course, living in exile. And a guy had come from Jerusalem. So Nehemiah, recognizing the guy, he asked him, How are things back home? How are things in Jerusalem? And Nehemiah must have been expecting him to say, oh, they're okay, people are fine, going good. That wasn't what the guy said. The guy told Nehemiah, things are awful. The people are poor. Poverty. They're dying. Oh, and the city of Jerusalem, it lies in ruin. The gates are burned with fire. The walls have been torn down. Oh, Nehemiah, it's terrible. It's absolutely horrible. Nehemiah said, that's too bad. I hate to hear that. And he went on and lived a good life in the end of the story. No, that's not how the story goes, is it? When Nehemiah found out, chapter 1, verse 4, Nehemiah, it says, so it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. You know what happened to Nehemiah when he heard that news that his beloved Jerusalem was just lying desolate? It broke his heart. And Nehemiah hit his knees. And he was so burdened that he couldn't eat. He fasted. He laid everything aside and he just poured himself out before the Lord. God, this is your people. Lord, this is your city. Oh Lord, we need you. We need your help. And you know why Nehemiah did that? Nehemiah did that because he cared. He cared. It burdened his heart because he cared. Now I want you to fast forward about 4,000 years to today. And I want us to answer the question, and I want you to understand, I say us, that's you and I. Why do believers today not fast? It's because there is no burden. Things don't bother us. If someone comes and gives us a report on the United States of America and tells us our youth are being brainwashed by a liberal and corrupt education system, we say, ah, that's too bad. Hate to hear that. someone comes and tells us where our country has turned from the Lord, we built this nation on godly biblical principles and now we've completely rejected God. Man, that's so sad. Our people have become lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, and you have to beg them to get them to come to church anymore. Ah, man, I hate that churches aren't prospering like they once were. All that's true. Now I ask you, what are you going to do about it? The reason that we don't fast is because we're not burdened. What I'm going to say is hard. Because it applies to me. We are the church at Laodicea. I said we. We are the church at Laodicea. We are the church of Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16 that says, I know your works. That you're neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. We live in a time that the fields are white in the harvest, but the laborers are few. Yet there is no fasting and prayer. We live in a time where churches are dying because people don't have time, yet there's no fasting and prayer. Say, oh, Brother Doug, well, you know, Brother Doug, I work in children's ministry. Good for you. That doesn't mean you care. Well, Brother Doug, I teach a class. Good for you. That doesn't mean you really care. You know, when you really care, I'll be honest with you, doing stuff is easy. Caring is the hard part. Caring enough to have a burden is the hard part. And the really most difficult part is caring enough that we will fast and pray and sincerely seek God as a church is the hard part. It's too easy to look and identify issues and forget. But we live in a country who needs God now more than ever. And if God doesn't come from us, He's not going to come. Today, and I tell you, boy, this was a tough message for me because it convicted me. And I've got to deal with it, and I will deal with it with myself. But you've got to do the same, and I ask you to do the same. I'm not asking you to fast. I'm asking you to consider it. I'm not going to set a time of saying, okay, the week after Christmas is going to be a week of fasting. I'm not. Because it should be something personal between you and God. And as I said in the beginning of this message, I will not look at you and say, are you fasting or did you fast? I won't do that. But I am going to challenge this church. Do we care? Do we really, really care? If we do, it will show by our seeking God and fasting. Our Father in heaven, Lord, I pray for us as a church. I pray for a burden. A burden for our community. A burden for our country. A burden for your work. Father, I pray that it will be such a burden that we are willing to take time to fast and seek You in prayer. Now, Lord, I pray for the invitation. I pray that You'll convict of sin. I pray that You'll draw men to You. And I pray that You'll give us the heart to respond to Your leading. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.